Well, hello everyone. Steph's a little nervous. But I think we can all make her feel comfortable. Send some loving vibes through the computer. Yes, they're coming back in time to warm Steph's heart right now. That's right. It's me, Timmy T, and we have the luxurious pleasure of having Jason and Steph Roman on the podcast with us tonight. Lolo is also holding baby Jaren.
Yes.
She's
all on the cute little baby noises and panting and that's all baby Jaren. He's amazing.
He's doing the panting as well.
He's doing the panting. Okay. All of those noises are coming from Jaren. Not me.
Awesome. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the Route 6 post called Sewing Supernaturally, which is not about being a paranormal seamstress, is it, Steph?
No, not at all.
Although that is an area in which you have a lot of experience, right?
No, not at all.
Excellent.
I've never tried that before.
You have passed the test of not dabbling in supernatural seamstressing. So the first part was all about generosity, including a story that was very revealing about an undisclosed couple.
Who could they be?
I don't know who would be that ridiculously generous. Okay, it was me and Lola. Right, Lola?
It was us.
It was us.
It was us.
And we literally did send all of our money, and I don't think we actually sent tea bags, but we did give away our guitar strings.
We gave away a bunch of strings. I remember we got the cash out because we didn't want any checks to bounce.
That's true.
You're not supposed to send cash in the mail, but we were like...
Better than bouncing the checks.
We're radical.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool for me when that couple came over, and they just came to visit. We didn't complain up our situation. We didn't even tell them in distress. And they said, they went away, they prayed, they individually asked the Lord how much of an offering they should give us. What kind of people do that? Only the coolest people.
Coolest people.
I totally want to be one of those people. And I am. But they both heard a number from the Lord, 5,000. And they came and just, they wrote us a check and left it on the table for $5,000.
It's awesome. It's amazing.
10 times what we gave in our Satan butt-kicking effort came back to us through no effort of our own.
Yeah. And you know, what I love about that story and what remains in my memory about it is just like how empowering it was not to get so caught up in what my bank account looked like. Like, we were so just wrapped around the axle. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
We were just like, what are we going to do?
We were looking at the conditions. We had no faith for ourselves.
We had no faith for ourselves. So I loved just, it was seriously, I remember when Ben was like, when he was like, well, if you're going to go down, you might as well go down knocking stuff over in the spirit.
I thought that was such a great encouragement.
Yeah, I loved it.
What was great about it for me, or one of the things that was great, was that having faith for other people, writing notes of encouragement to other people, actually released faith. Even though it wasn't faith toward our own situation, it released faith in us for other people, and that turned the whole situation on its head.
Totally.
So you didn't just send money, you actually put little notes in with the money.
Yeah.
Writing encouragements and prayers for the people you're sending money to.
Exactly. For every person, we activated our faith for we wrote down what we thought God was going to do for them, how he was going to bless them, what kind of things they were maybe coming into in the next season. And it was awesome. It really made a difference.
It's actually one of the things I love so much about generosity, because when you give, whether it's with time or with money or whatever you're giving to have somebody else, you get to give into whatever their dreams are.
Mm-hmm.
You get to be a part of their dreams and the fulfillment of the dreams. And when their dreams come to fruition, you get to celebrate with them. And it bonds your hearts together over something that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Go ahead.
We're probably going to say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about generosity in the kingdom, like just ridiculous generosity, but very spirit-led generosity, the first couple that comes to my mind is you guys.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not even kidding. I think that you guys are some of the most generous, but not in a reckless generosity, not in one that, like, where you'll just give away anything willy-nilly. Like, yours is a very spirit-led, very, you know, ridiculously measured generosity, if that makes any sense. Like, measured by the Spirit, who tends to be overly generous, in a sense, you know? And I just love that. I've always really looked up to you guys that way.
Oh, thank you.
Really admired that.
Yeah, I agree. One of the things that I think you guys, Jason and Steph, really embody is having a view. Well, I don't know. Maybe I don't know where it comes from, but I think that when I have received your generosity or watched you be generous with other people, whether it's with your time or your finances or whatever it may be, encouragement, I always feel bonded together as a people. Like, when you sow into my dreams and you've sowed into our dreams significantly, I always feel like you know in a way that maybe other people don't that we're a people. And I don't feel like it's a formula for you. Like, a lot of people have heard that story about how we gave away $500 and it became $5,000. And went, oh, so it's 10 times whatever I give? Okay.
I need $1,000 next week.
But it's never felt that way from when you guys have given. I felt like it bonded us together in generosity. And we were, and it made us more of a people. It's not like an individual formula that I do and then the Lord does according to what I did.
Right.
But there's a sense that together we embody something we couldn't have alone. I don't know if that makes sense to you guys, but it does to me.
Yeah, it does.
Did you hear it when the kids came up?
Oh, it's all good. That's just happy family sounds. So what I think is interesting is that it's not a formula, and yet the scripture says, God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Mm. In other words, if you sowed and you didn't reap because of it, that would be mockery toward God. God just would not stand for that. Mm. So we don't approach it like a formula, but there is something that God sees, and he does pay back whatever we sow, which I thought was a cool principle in this post. What ways have you guys seen God bring a harvest to what you've sown or seen other people sow in generosity?
It's always been a very interesting scripture to me. I think a lot of times it can be confused for karma because it has that I do, therefore the universe blesses me back because mm-hmm. of something. And I really don't think that is what they're trying to say there. The principle seems to be more of, I think, righteousness, that we are called into righteousness and we sow righteously, which is doing all of the things that the Father is called to do. And I mean, for this post, we're talking about generosity. Mm-hmm. So giving generously and righteous. And then we receive and have already received in a lot of ways that in return. He has sown back into us his righteousness mm-hmm. through Christ. I think that verse is a strange one to me because it can often be confused with the formulaic, I want good things, therefore I'll do good things.
Yeah.
But good things have already been placed into your life through Christ.
Yeah, that's right. I was thinking about that as you were talking. Two things became kind of clear to me. What's become clear to you, Steph? I actually only just queued Steph up there because while I said that, I lost track of the two things. I thought she could maybe bail me out.
Well, I was just thinking about teaching Evie how to do that, how to be generous.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we receive a box of clothes from my sister, we take all of her clothes out of the closet and she picks out of the new stuff, five things that she really likes, and then five more things that she really likes, and she gives those to someone else. as well, because it's teaching her that we don't just give out of the stuff that we don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that doesn't really pull anything out of our heart. But to give out of the best really teaches her, like, just praying about, okay, who should you give that dress to?
Yeah.
Who would really love that? And it was sweet for us when we went through a season of not having a whole lot of money to buy gifts and stuff, thinking, okay, we're going to so-and-so's birthday party. Now think about, what would they like? What do you have that would really bless them?
Yeah.
And seeing her come up with some amazing things. Like, one of her little friends had come over the day before and was playing in one of her princess dresses. And it was the dress she was like, where is it? Where's that dress? And Evie said, I want to go give that to her. And it was her favorite gift of, like, the whole party.
Oh.
She's like, I got that dress, Mom.
Wow.
And Evie got to be a part of that. And it was fun for us to be able to help instill that in her.
Yeah.
Giving and blessing and generosity and all of that. That's what I was thinking about.
You're the best mom ever.
Thank you.
That illustrates one of the things I was thinking about while Jason was talking, and it really makes it so clear that the reason we practice generosity in the kingdom is not so that we can reap a harvest, it's so that we can practice what the Father's heart is. Your heart in teaching Evie was not to teach her generosity so that she could have provision. She already had the provision. It was to teach her generosity because that's the value of your family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just such an amazing picture of why we practice generosity in the kingdom. It's because, well, we've already received every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. Mm-hmm. So everything we could ever want is ours. But the way of the king is to pour himself out.
Yes.
And to be generous. And so we actually have the privilege of sharing the Father's heart in learning generosity, not in trying to get the harvest, although there is great harvest. Godliness with contentment is great gain.
Well, and isn't it just our nature to be generous because it's the nature of Jesus?
Yes.
And we love to do the things that he does. So it's a natural thing for us now to know where our provision comes from and to know who our source is. And so we can give whenever he puts it on our heart to give, knowing that we don't have to hold so tightly to the things of the world.
Mm.
We hold so tightly to him.
Oh, yeah.
And then we can participate in the divine. We can participate in him being someone else's provision through us. Like, that's awesome. That is such a cool privilege.
Yeah.
Even if your finances don't look the way that you think they should, and the Lord tells you to give a bunch, I'd say go give a bunch. Because, you know, that's what we're talking about with the post a couple of days ago with prophetic living.
Yeah.
That this is how that plays out, you
mm-hmm.
know, is that you understand that our vision and our faith is in the eternal. Our
mm-hmm.
faith is in what
yeah.
has already been accomplished. And it's calling it out.
Hey!
Like dropping your coffee cup.
She got excited. She
it's
threw
like
her coffee cup on
the
floor.
The heavenly coffee cup into our world.
That really brought some emphasis to that point.
It comes crashing in. But really, our faith isn't in the provision. Our faith isn't in the increase.
Mm-hmm.
Our faith isn't in getting a new house or whatever it might be.
Mm.
Our faith is in Jesus and what he's already accomplished for us. So that's what we live out of. So when the Spirit says give, we give.
Yeah.
There's no question about it.
Yeah.
And that's our prophetic lifestyle. That's giving the earth what it's longing for,
yeah.
which is just the domain of the king
right.
here. And that's a very unique privilege to kingdom sons, and I love it.
Yeah, practicing generosity, is this what you were saying? Practicing generosity is kind of a way of prophesying to
mm-hmm.
the conditions in your life.
Totally.
About what is more true about your life, which
that's
is...
Right.
The abundance of the kingdom of God.
Which is exactly what the post talks about with loosing and binding.
Yeah.
The lawn care section about what you nurture is what's going to grow and what you take away is what won't, you know, and
mm-hmm.
all of that kind of stuff. I'm going to go get you right now.
I was thinking about how once I prophesied to my life by not really generosity so much as contentment. Have I ever told you this story?
No.
There was a musical instrument that I was really interested in, something in the nerdy big mandolin realm. And my desire for this musical instrument was, it was becoming borderline obsessive. And I would look at pictures of them on the internet, like mandolin porn. I had a mandolin porn problem. The curves on it were so beautiful. I imagined its tone to be so sweet. And I remember at one point, before the Lord, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm beginning to have an unhealthy thought relationship about this musical instrument. And I made a choice. I said, I am going to stop thinking about this, and I'm going to stop wanting it. And Father, I'm just going to be content and thankful for what I do have, which is much. And when you want me to have one of those, I will trust that you will release it to me. And like 2 weeks later, I kid you not, we were traveling with our band, and we went through the town where they make those mandolins. And we stopped by. We walked through the factory. It was the Weber mandolin factory. I endorse them, by Weber, fine acoustic instruments. And I was asking Bruce Weber about these instruments, how he makes them. And I was just curious and learning. It was really cool. And he went to our show in town that night, and during the set break, I was talking to him, and he said, you know, Tim, we ought to get you one of those octave mandolins. And I said, yeah, I'd like that. Whenever I, you know, get my money together, I'll let you know. We'll definitely do that. He said, no, I want to make you one. And I said, awesome. Yeah, I know, cool. So when I figure out what I want and have some resources, then I'll let you know. And he said, no, like, tell me what you want, and I will make it for you and send it to you.
Wow.
And that's so I got awesome. To, like, just spec out my dream instrument, and then he built it for me and mailed it to me.
That is so good.
I didn't even pay for the shipping. And it was so awesome. Like, who would have guessed? I chose to rule my soul and to be content, and then the Father released me a great treasure because I had chosen a different way.
That's how good he is. It would not have been good for you to have the mandolin before you made past that point.
No, totally. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine what that would have led to. Moving right along. Anyone want to say anything else about lawn care? Or anything else?
Well, I was just thinking that's how Jaron happened. Mm. It's a very similar story. Because we had gotten so many prophetic words about having a second baby.
That's right.
And a lot had to happen in my heart, in my physical heart, healing-wise, for us to even broach the subject of that with my cardiologist.
Yeah.
And the Father, I was like counting down to the like, okay, we're going to get pregnant at this month. Because of this word that someone had told me about the weather outside was like this, and like trying to figure it all out, and it was causing me so much angst. And the Father said, would you just release it and trust me that if you're supposed to have a baby, I'll take care of it. And so I released it to him, and then we kept getting these prophetic words, and I was like, God, what's happening? When is it going to happen? And it was, we got one prophetic word that said, if you trust the doctors, and when the doctors say yes, the Father's timing will be there, and he'll make it perfect. And everything happened perfectly, as it should, as it was supposed to. And it was because I released it, and I trusted, okay, Father, if you're going to do this, I want it in your timing, not when I figured it out and mathematically calendarized everything to the point where I wasn't able to receive the gift because my hands weren't open. I was holding so tightly to having a baby. I wasn't able to receive it from the Father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I did like one other thing in this post. The topic of imagination was really good. I think a lot of giving with a happy heart comes from having a good imagination about what that gift is going to do for the people around you. And I also think that being content with what you have and being able to live out of where the Father has you currently has a lot to do with your imagination. Because if you let your imagination run wild and rampant, and you let it have arguments with other people, or you let it think of horrible situations.
Like people who aren't there.
People that aren't there. People just that's in your imaginations. Yeah. If you find yourself in that place, then you're letting the enemy tell you things, and you just entertain mm-hmm. his words for you mm-hmm. instead of entertaining the words of the Father for you. Mm. And I mean, you'll know it. You have to know it immediately because you become anxious. Mm-hmm. Right? You no longer have peace in your heart. You're angry or you're upset or you're whatever the emotion is that goes along with the imagination that isn't from the Father.
Yeah.
So if you concentrate on the things that are beautiful and you concentrate on the Father's goodness for you and you believe in how good He is and how much He loves you, then you can have an imagination about what your life will be like and how wonderful it will be.
Wow.
It reminds me of the time you told me that I could not watch this specific show about housewives in a real city somewhere because we had just gotten married, and every time I would watch the show, he would ask me, "Honey, are you okay? What's going on?" Well, if I just had my own checking account, if I just had my own car, if I just had whatever, because I was imagining if my life were just like theirs, I wouldn't feel this way. I wouldn't feel discontent. But I realized after Jason somewhat forbade me from watching that show that it was contributing to my discontent because it was bringing into me, if you just had this car, if you just had these shoes, if you just had this house, then life would be okay. Instead of, like Jason said, thinking about the beautiful things that the Father has for me, that helps me be content when everything around me is telling me I need this or that or whatever to be whole.
Yeah.
I'm already whole. I don't need anything else.
Yeah, I love that. That reminds me of what Paul said to Timothy, to remind the people who are rich not to trust in the deceitfulness of wealth. That really feels like the deceitfulness of wealth, that like one more thing, you know, one more carrot is dangling out there and your happiness is hiding on the other side of it.
That's so true.
I love what you guys are bringing us to right now, which is that there's a way of ruling your mind and imagining glorious and good things and stewarding the places that your thoughts go and seeing the fruit that bears in your life.
Yes.
Even the approach to the same situation being one of joy instead of one of disappointment.
Well, I keep hearing that seek first the kingdom and everything else will be added. Like, just seek the kingdom and then everything else will be added. Like, it's taken care of. You don't need to worry about it. Just seek the kingdom.
Amen. Jason and Steph, ladies and gentlemen. Clapping, clapping.
Thank you.
Steph, do you still feel anxious?
No.
No, because you were so awesome.